had a great walk with God, an awesome experience in her life. And I'm sure there's a lot of gratitude in that, and a lot of experience that we're going to hear about now. So praise God, Em.
Thank you. I've got a PowerPoint. I'm hoping it gets up and running. Thanks, Mash. Oh, there we go. Okay, so this is my Jesus story. I was, that's me, the little tucker. Clearly got the ears from my dad's side of the family. I was umming and ahhing whether to put some photos in. I thought, oh yeah, I will, because it'll just make me laugh anyway, and then I'll be less nervous. So that's why there's a few little funny pictures in there. That's my godmother, Diane, who was there for my christening when I was 4 months old. After that, we moved to Riddles Creek when I was about one, and we went to the Anglican church there from when I was about one until I was 16. So that was mum teaching Sunday school there, which has lots of good memories, singing lots of songs, learning lots of stories about Jesus. Now, during that time as well, I was confirmed. So that's down the bottom. There's me, my sister Bron, and my brother Rod. And yes, I'm the oldest and the shortest. So, yep, that was in 1997, going back a bit. When we went to church in Riddle, it was the Anglican church, and it was, like, I loved it, but it was a little bit same every week. So there was, especially for the kids, there was this little kids book, and it had, you know, the same thing every week we'd look at it. And I remember the last page, because we were always, I know this is bad, but we were hanging to get to the last page. And it had a dove on there, and it had, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen." And every week we'd say that, and then we'd be like, "Yes, let's go and play." So, yeah, we were always hanging out for this, for the last page of the book, because it was a little bit all the same, but it was still fun. So, and I made lots of good friends there. So, yeah, loved that. But I never really, I don't feel like I had a relationship with God when I was there, and that's, like, no one's to blame for that, but I just, it was sort of like, just go there, go through the motions and go home. And there was, during the week, we didn't really, we said grace at the table and things like that, but it was a bit more of the rote sort of stuff. So yeah, that's what happened then. But then I think we stopped going to church because the boys all had football on a Sunday. So I got three brothers, and that just kind of took over. And also we had a pea farm. So we were picking peas a lot, and it's kind of just got pushed to the side, I suppose. I'll probably have to talk to Mum a bit more about why we stopped going, but I think they're the reasons. So yeah, we didn't go to church. So there's a 20-year gap in my life where I didn't know God, didn't go to church, and it was just like, that's just a ride off that whole 20 years. Then, FaithWorks. Mum was teaching kids church here. And my kids said to me, "Oh, what does Nana teach at kids' church?" And I said, "Well, she teaches people about God." And they're like, "Well, what's God? Who's God?" And I said, "Guys, we're going to go because I'm really unqualified to answer this question." So we rolled up, and they're like, "Oh, okay, Nana teaches kids' church. Great, great." And I'm in here sort of thinking, "Oh, I really don't know how this is going to go. Like, this could go here or here." Anyway, the kids loved kids' church, and I absolutely loved sitting in here. I felt like I wanted to come back every week because I felt like someone was talking to me. Oh, hello. So the kids, I think I kept dragging the kids back, even though I knew they liked it. But I'm like, "Oh, kids, yeah, let's go. We're off again." I kept on coming back, and I just really felt like I just belonged here, and that there was definitely a vibe about the place that was so good. There's never really a point where I guess I kind of say, like, I went from not believing in God to believing in God. Like, there's, I can't pinpoint a time, but it just was gradual, just coming in here and listening to the Word and reading the Bible and whatever, where I just one day was like, I fully believe that this is happening. Like, this is all good. Yeah, so there's not really a time where I went, "Oh, hallelujah, God's, you know, like, I believe in God." It was just really, like, it just sort of took so long to get into my spirit, I guess is what I'm saying. So God started talking to me. Next slide, please. So when I was thinking about what I wanted to say today, God sort of sent me on the angle of continuing on with what Mash and Darren were talking about, which was sort of how God speaks to them. So I just wanted to go a little bit through that. Through scripture, God speaks to me a lot. I wasn't going to put this on the slide, but the kids' Bible, right? God talks to me so much through that. Sometimes the adult Bible goes zoom, and I just honestly, like, I read it and I'm like, I just have no idea what I just read. And I know it sounds bad, and I don't even know if I should be saying that, but anyway, the kids' Bible speaks to me a lot. So I'm putting it out there that if you read the Bible and you say, oh, I don't know about what that is, go to the kids' Bible and have a little read. And often it makes a lot more sense, and God speaks to me a lot through that. And then last week when Rob was talking, he said that God will speak to us through our vernacular. And I thought, oh, man, okay, I'm just a kid. I'm reading the kids' Bible, and that's how he's talking to me. This is good. So, yeah, so I'm thinking that that's good for me to read the kids' Bible. Also, movies. The Greatest Showman. Well, it's not a Christian movie, but I do like a movie with singing and dancing in it. And this movie spoke to me a lot. It's about a guy, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's about a guy who he becomes quite successful, and it's at the cost of his family and his friendships. So he's like loving life, he's making loads of money and all this, but his life's falling apart. His family have left him and it's horrible. But God, yeah, God showed me in that I just need to concentrate a lot on those relationships. So yeah, God actually shows me a lot of different ways that I need to forget about the world and worldly things. He's always talking to me about that, and that was a movie that he showed me that in. Also, I didn't put it up there, but there's another movie called Fireproof that is a Christian movie, and I was watching this. Have you seen it, Pamela? Yeah, I was watching it the other day, and there's a scene in there with three firemen. One of them is not religious or Christian or whatever, but his parents are both Christians, and he's talking to these other two firemen, and he's saying, where do you guys think you're going to go when you die? And one of them says, I'm going in a hole in the ground and I'm staying there. And the other one says, well, I'm going up to heaven with my father. And this guy's just sitting there and he's like, well, one of you is wrong and one of you is right. And so, and that just, it said to me, like, if you're not believing in God, that's your option, right? You're going in a hole in the ground and you're staying there. Why wouldn't you be thinking, if there is any remote chance that I'm going to heaven with everyone else that believes in God and being up there with him, why would you not go down that path and give your life to God? Because the only other option is you're in a hole in the ground forever. Which I already believed that. But when I was watching this movie, God said to me, watch that scene again. Because one day you're gonna use this information to tell someone else why they should believe in God. So I'm watching it and watching it. And it actually hasn't really come to the point where I've had to use it yet, but I know when I do need to, that I'll have it up my sleeve. So yeah, so things like that he tells me about. The next one is through other people. I think I might have said this one once, but it's pretty good anyway. So I was in Coles and I saw a lady who I should have known her name. She was down the other end of the aisle. And I was just thinking, oh man, this lady's name, I really should know her. Like I knew her from playgroup a while back and I should have known her name. And I just could not think of it. So I was pushing the trolley and I said, Lord, I need to know her name, please. She turned around the corner, I went around. Over the loudspeaker, it says, Laura, can you please come to the front desk or whatever they say at Coles? Not kidding. And I'm like, her name is Laura. It was just like he literally spoke to me through the Coles speaker. I'm not kidding. And I went, thank you. And then I'm going down the next aisle. Hi, Laura. So, yeah, that's one way he spoke to me that I remember so clearly. And I was just like, Lord, thank you so much. I would have been so embarrassed to forget her name. So that was a really good one. The other thing is last week when Rob was here, he was telling me a message, and he was telling me that I waste a lot of time and energy thinking about choices, and he is right. So he told me that I need to make a list of pros and cons about choices that I make, and to look at them and talk to God about them, and that will tell me the right path to go down. So I thought, right, let's give this a bill. So big decision at the moment in our place is where we're sending the kids to secondary school. We always thought that we would send them to Gizzy High, that we just said, yep, we're sending the kids there. We both went there. We love it. It's close by and everything. So that was always our thought. But recently we've been sort of second guessing that because of the fact that a lot of the kids' friends are going to private schools. And we're like, oh, okay. So we've just been thinking about what should we do, where should we send them? And it has been a bit of, a bit of energy's gone into thinking about this. So I sat down, because we haven't fully decided, Austin's in grade 5, and I wrote down the pros and cons. And then I was looking at them and God said to me, he said, just because everyone else is doing something doesn't mean it's the right choice for you. And I went, oh, okay. So these other schools are great, but now I am like 99% certain that we'll send the kids to Gisborne because we've always thought we will. And the only reason we weren't, like we kept on umming and ahhing, was because everyone else was doing something different. But we thought, like, just because of that, why should we change what we're doing? So, yeah, I prayed a lot about that. And we're, pretty certain we'll send them to Gisborne. We went to the open night the other night, which was really good. So, yeah, they'll be heading there most likely. Feeling or thoughts is the next one down. I've got them in bold because I think that is the way that God speaks to me the most. This is a pretty big one, actually. I don't know if many of you know, but Anthony and I own a Just Cut salon in Wodonga, which is a hairdressing franchise. When we first bought in, which was about 3 years ago, our long-term plan was to maybe own 2 or 3 of these salons. So since we bought the Wodonga one, we've been looking around at other options to buy into another couple. There was one for sale in Canberra, and this is just before COVID. So Anth's a very spreadsheet orientated person, and he gets on there and works out all the numbers. Is this business going to work or whatever? And the numbers looked really good. So we thought, yep, this is a winner. We're going to have 12 staff up there. We can sort of fly in, fly out. It should work. So all the numbers, everything in, you know, it all looked good. So we paid a deposit of $12,000. And just after we paid the deposit, I had a word from God that this was not a good idea. Now, it was a feeling. So I just thought, this is a bad move. It's really hard for me to explain to Anth, who has done all these numbers, and it all is looking fine from the outside, that I have a feeling it's not going to work. He's like, but look, this and this. And I said, oh, I know, but I honestly, like, I just feel this is going to be bad. And he said, okay. And I was crying. I just didn't know how to explain to him how bad I felt about it. I was bawling my eyes out. And he goes, if you're going to feel this bad about it, let's not do it. So we rang them up and said, look, we're really sorry. We know we've paid our deposit and everything, but we're pulling the pin on this deal. We just don't think it's right for us. So we were so lucky. We got our money back bar about $50 of fees or something. Now, at the time, I had no idea why God was telling me this was not a good idea. Then COVID came. And I was like, oh, this is why. Because there is no chance we would have been able to fly there to sort out anything with the staff. We wouldn't have been able to travel. Also in Canberra, the hairdressing situation is that there are a lot of visa stylists who, when COVID hit, there's no one can travel in. So there was a massive, massive shortage of stylists there. So all these things would have made it very difficult for us to get that business up and running. We could have done it. Like, there's no doubt we still would have, like, gone ahead and done it. But that was just a warning to say, this is not going to be easy, so just pull out right now. And I went, all right. So I'm so glad that God told me that, because I can see now that it would have been not a good move. And in the meantime, the one right next to Wodonga Aubrey has come up for sale, and we're going to buy that one. So God said no to the first one, but then opened up a door to another one. So I'm just, really grateful for that as well. Proverbs 3:6 is on the back of our toilet door, and it says, in all your ways obey him, then he will make your path smooth and straight. So it still would have been a path. Like, we still could have done the salon in Canberra and, got through, but it would not have been smooth, straight sailing. So I think listening to him was a good plan. The next one down is songs. Lots of songs speak to me, but there's one at the moment that really does. It's called Dream Small. And again, it's pretty much God telling me about not aiming for massive, big heights, but just like it's okay to have big dreams, but don't miss the little things on the way. So still, like, yeah, focus on those little things and your community and your family and whatnot. So yeah, songs is as big as well. I know there's lots of other ways God can speak to people, like dreams, visions, or like an audible word. I've never heard actually him talk to me. It's more feelings and thoughts. But yeah, there's no doubt there's other ways. I just haven't felt those though yet. Just the ones up on there are the ones that I've experienced. So, next slide, please, Mash. Oh, my baptism. Yes, I'm baptized now. Woohoo. Yeah, so this is a great story. So coming along to church for the last few years, and just every now and then Ken would mention something about baptism. So it was in the back of my head, oh, you know, that's probably something that I should do one day. And so I was sort of like thinking about it, but not really too worried about it. Then in the matter of 1 week, three things happened where I just got my skates on and got baptised. The first thing was at church. Ken was saying, I was sitting there and I reckon he was looking at me. And he said, if you're not baptised, this is something you seriously need to consider. And I went, oh, yeah, that's me. Look away. So, yeah, so that was in my head and definitely started me thinking seriously about it. Then I said to Kerry, I said, right, tell me more about this baptism business. I'm pretty sure I need to get baptised. So she gave me a leaflet that had questions and answers about baptism on it. So it had, what is baptism? How do I get baptised? And all this stuff. But the one on the page that stuck out the most to me was, when should I get baptised? And it was immediately or as soon as possible. And I went, oh, okay. Right, so this Acts 16 says, he then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. So I read that and I thought, yep, okay, I think I've got to get baptized. Then the final one was at church, after church actually, out in the foyer. I was just walking across towards the toys with Chelsea. Krista was having a chat to someone, I don't know who it was, and she was in quiet conversation with this person, and she turned to me, and I was probably a couple metres away, and she goes, you need to get yourself bathed. And I sort of didn't realise she was talking to me because she was talking to someone else. And I was a bit rude, sorry, Krista. And I said, huh, what? And she did. And again, she turned to me and she goes, you need to get yourself bathed. And I kind of just walked off because I was just a bit confused, really. But then thinking about it later and I thought, oh, man, like that is three things in a week where people have said to me or I've been sent a message that I should get baptised. And especially after Krista said that, I was thinking, mate, this lady's full of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do what she says. So I rang my sister that night and said, baptise me, when are you free? Because she's done a couple of baptisms. She said, yep, Thursday morning, come to my house, I'll baptise you in my bath. And I'm like, done, right, let's do it. So Kerry was there. So Bron baptised me with her friend Carola. And it was so good. And thanks, Krista, you got me across the line. So Krista didn't know all this happened. This was before Easter. Then after we were up at the cross, I was talking to Krista and I said, oh, Krista, thanks for your word the other day because I'm baptised now. And she's like, what? And I said, yeah, remember when you said to me you need to go and get bathed? And she said, I've got no idea what you are talking about. And she didn't know. She literally did not know that she had said those words to me. It was just, oh, I can't even explain it, honestly. But last week when Rob was talking about ways God can speak to you, he said about the unbidden word, which is where it just gets blurted out and you don't even realise you say it. And that happened to Krista, and I was on the back end of that. So, yeah, so that was another way that God will speak to you. Yeah, that was good. Thanks, Krista. Yeah, that's all that one. Next one, please. Oh, yeah. So that little dog in the basket on the bike, it's not an oversized rat. It actually is a dog, fully grown dog. Her name's Cookie, and she's our dog. She's about 1 year old, and the kids just love her. But the reason why I've got this up there is because, like, I've spoken a lot about God talking to me, but how do I know it's a two-way conversation? And my answer to that is because he answers my prayers. So this dog, oh, it's such a menace, right? It can climb through a hole this big in our fence that is up this high off the ground. So all the rest is chicken wire, and she just up through the hole and off she goes. So one day, I was helping at the school with a camp lunch or something, and someone said, oh, your dog is just outside the school. We live 1.3 k's from the school, and Cookie had walked all the way to school thinking she was going to find the kids, because we do that walk every day, twice a day, to school and then home from school again. So she was waiting out under a tree or something, but when I went out to get her, she disappeared. She wasn't there, and I thought, oh no, she's on the loose. She's running around Macedon everywhere. Lucky so many people know her, because she'd escaped a couple of times and someone had always found her who knew us and her. So they'd always drop her off at the post office and we'd go and get her. So the post office people are probably a bit sick of Cookie, but anyway. So I'm driving around Macedon going, Cookie, Cookie, where are you? And couldn't find her. And it got to the point where I was like, oh, she's actually lost now. She hasn't come home. This was a couple hours in. I rang Bron and I said, Bron, Cookie's lost. Can you please pray that Cookie will come back with me? And also, can you please go on Facebook and put a note up? Because I don't really do Facebook, but Bron does. So she put notes on the Macedon Rangers lost dog site or something or other, that Cookie was lost. So so Bron's praying. She's putting out things, messages and things. And then it probably got to about 5 hours later, and I'm just about to pick, oh, it wouldn't have been five, maybe 4 or 5 hours later, just about to pick the kids up from school, and I'd been looking everywhere, just driving around, couldn't find her, and I just sat down, and I had 1 minute before I had to walk out the door without this dog, and I just said, Lord God, I really need you to find Cookie right now, bring Cookie back, because I cannot go to school without this dog. I'm going to have three kids bawling their eyes out on the way home that the dog is lost. And I was just going like this, 1 minute to go, and I heard this little noise, and I'm like, no way. Literally, she was at the back door. She'd been roaming around Macedon, no dramas, and I was just praying and saying, God, you need to bring her back. And she appeared at the back door. I'm like, well, hello. There must be a God, because he brought Cookie back. So, yeah, that's about Cookie. Next slide. So God definitely does answer my prayers. He has answered more prayers than that, by the way. So what I've learned is that for me to be able to hear from God, I need to pray and make the effort to just have quiet time. So I think I've found that when my life is non-stop, just go, and I don't intentionally make space for God to speak to me, then there is a risk that I'll miss messages from him. So like even when Ken was saying before that he'd turn on the Christian channel, like that's just a way that an easy way where you're then in a zone where you can hear from God. So, yeah, that's really important for me, because often I'm just, yeah, go, go, go. Reading God's word definitely is important to be able to hear messages, and or listening to it if you don't like to read, or if you can't, like, sit there and read. So when I'm driving up to the salon in Wodonga, I'll just put the Bible app on play somewhere and just listen to that for like an hour or so. So that's always good as well. And put yourself in circumstances where you'll be able to hear from God. So in church, around other Christians, like even Christian movies or whatever, are all ways that I've found where I have heard a message from God in that scenario. And then I think the most important thing that I've learned is that, yes, you might hear the message, but you also need to act on the message and obey what God's trying to tell you. And that's not always easy, right? So it would have probably been easier for me to say, oh, nah, look, we've already paid the deposit on that salon. let's just roll with it, instead of me having like a nervous breakdown trying to tell Anthony we shouldn't do it. Yeah, so it's not always the easy option, but I think it's easier than leaving things how they are, and then long term trying to get back to where you should be. So acting on what he says straight away, I think is pretty crucial. Yeah. Last slide. Thanks, Mash. And if I can just finish with a prayer, I'd really like to. So if you can just close your eyes. Lord God, we pray for you to keep our eyes, ears and heart open to the messages from you. Please give us the wisdom to know when it is you that is speaking to us. Forgive us if we've made decisions without your guidance, and give us strength to fix this up sooner rather than later. We thank you for the plans you have for us, and that you know the best way for those plans to play out in our lives. We look forward to hearing from you, talking to you, working with you, and one day meeting you. Amen. Thanks, guys.
I am gobsmacked. God is so good, isn't he? So good. Now, she set the bar pretty high there, Em. Lexi's chickened out. No, not really, but I think time's gone, and I think we're going to hear from Lex again at another time. But I really want to say this. Krista, will you go and pray for Em now while we stand together and pray? Just for God to empower her in the rest of her walk with him. Go, come on, we're all going to just join together in prayer. And if anyone else wants to just stand around, Bible says pray one for another. And this girl is on a journey that is so exciting. And the power of God is going to be part of her life constantly. And I appreciate it in Jesus' name.